Yes, 8 minutes gone past the hour of 11 o'clock. Time for us to have our final conversations once again. It's a good morning to you. Earlier on, when we started, I made mention of how important it is to be patriotic. I told you of a story. I'm sure some of you over here, they have seen it now, maybe even gone on all the social media platforms to watch the clip of Nigeria's own Tobi Amusu, who was trending a day ago. The whole world was, you know, celebrating her achievement, a world record, smashing the previous record, and now standing tall with the green and white. And I did tell you that it was emotive, because at some point, when it was the label of her hero's past, she let down a tear. I cannot tell you it's because of that line that she cried, but the point is, at some point, she did cry. Now, we talked earlier about patriotism and nationhood and everything. Now, my quote for us as we get into our next conversation is this. It's taken from one made by Malcolm X. And he says, "You are not supposed to be blind with patriotism that you can't face reality. Wrong is wrong, no matter who does it or who says it." Our final conversation this morning is about promoting local content. We have laws like that. For those of you who are vendors in the contracting business, who want to go to the IOCs, who want to go to several companies to get contract, the law is that, look, more of those jobs should be given out to, in quotes, local individuals, local engineers, local companies to boost the economy, yada, 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 yada. Right? That's the way it should be done. And a leader should be at the forefront of such an idea. Joining me this morning is leadership coach, business advisor, Dr. Alfred Oladapo. Dr. Alfred, it's a good morning to you.
Good morning, Joe. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you, like many other Nigerians, were very proud to see the feat by Tobi. Hashtag Tobi was number one trend yesterday. Brilliant, brilliant stuff from her.
Yeah, you know, at a point where, you know, she was on the podium and tears rolled down her cheeks, you know. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, tears came down my cheeks too. I mean, for a brief moment, you're proud to be a Nigerian.
For a brief moment.
You're proud to have come from this part of the world, you know, the most populous black nation on earth. Mm. And that's our first world record. It just came out of my eyes again because it took me back memory lane. I was at the National Games in 1981 for Plateau State, and I ran in the 1600 relay, and our team came third.
Oh.
And that was, we missed the gold and the silver. You know the difference sometimes is just, you know,
0.something seconds.
It was a very close race, you know. But by the time I mounted the podium and they played the music, you know, you just feel some kind of emotion. You know, you're just overwhelmed by a sense of, so this is it. That's it, because, you know, years of toil, going in mountain climbing, the gym, running on the track morning, afternoon, and evening. I was a student also, so too many things, you know, were playing. That was 1984. I was a young student in the university, and you can really feel the weight of the fact that, you know, you carry the burden of a group of people. At that point in time, it was like you carry the hope of Plateau State people. You know, and you could really see the, you know, members of the contingent, you know, really, you know, jumping. They were just so happy that, you know, we were on the podium. And so compare that to someone now who is on the world stage.
It must have been huge.
It was huge. It was really huge.
Speaking of huge, the issue of local content, like I may mention, has been huge for a number of years. You've been here several times talking about how important it is for leaders to be the yardstick, to set the examples, you know, in different aspects of their roles, whether they are government leaders, educationists, business leaders. Yeah. Now, let's start with business. If we talk about local content, let's use you for example. Would it not be ideal for you to have people who are Nigerian working for a Nigerian company in Nigeria?
Absolutely, yes. What is it? I love where you began the conversation by Malcolm X. You don't really promote, at the expense of reality.
Patriotism at the expense
You don't promote patriotism at the expense of reality. See, when we talk of local content, one of the things I've always said is this: we need to build capacity. We need to build competence. See, organizations exist to make profits. They're not Father Christmas. They are not charity organizations. Okay, they want to make profit. Even in some charity organizations, you have to make returns and clean up the books, especially for balance the books for those who are your sponsors. They want to know where the cash has gone. And now, a key thing in a business organization is you don't want leakages. Leakages in the sense of, you know, what are those things that filter resources away? Therefore, you want to make justifiable reasons for anything you do. Now, so when we talk about local content, I am a local man. I'm a Nigerian. Okay, so I'm a local content. The issue then is, what have we done? Because you talk about me now. In almost all the training we do here, almost all our case studies are built on local content. Because, you see, if you don't contextualize what you do, you're simply going to be floating ideas in the air. And it's not going to be useful for productivity, you know, on this part of the world. That's the truth. I mean, that's one of the biggest challenges when people go to, like, a UK, go to US and other places to go run their training. Those trainings are designed for those areas. You got to be smart to be able to extrapolate it to your own context. So when I meet organizational leaders who say, well, we sent, you know, this group of people, you know, to the UK, we sent them to the US, and I tell them, I say, the truth is that most of those trainings are not designed for you. They're designed for their context. Therefore, you need to have people that are smart enough to be able to take what they learn in that place, extrapolate it to the reality of what is on ground. Because they are going to be talking a lot about themselves. They're going to be talking about their own country. They're going to be talking about their situations. They're going to be using their economy. They're going to be talking about their system. They're going to be using their governments to do all sorts of things. The challenge here sometimes is, even when we do things, and you probably, you know, like a, take the reality of who we are here or what's happening here and make it a case study, people take offense sometimes. And they think, okay, you are a critic of the system. Oh, you don't see anything good here. But truth is, you don't live in isolation. Because they say, the job of a leader, and I love the way George Barna says it, he says, the first job of a leader is to define reality.
To define reality.
That is the first job of a leader, to define reality. And George Barna is one of the foremost, you know, leadership experts, you know, in the world. He works more in the non-profit sector. So if a leader cannot define reality, what then does he bring to the table? How does he add value, you know, to the people he leads? How does he bring meaning to the organization? How does he create systems that will be able, you know, to subtain the pressure of the environment and the ambience in which it does profit? So if we can't define reality, that becomes an issue. I do agree, you know, with local content. And the truth is, if we don't build local content, there's going to be a lot of backlash in the economy. Years ago, say, some non-profit organizations now at the religious circle, some of them are facing the big backlash now. Because, you see, when most of the missionaries came, there was no deliberate intentionality, okay, to really build local content at the speed of light. They dominated the scene for a long time. When they eventually left, then the people became highly incapacitated.
There was a vacuum.
There was a big vacuum, highly incapacitated. So when you look at, and look at some organizations today on the non-profit, you know, the religious areas, emphasis now is being placed on paper qualification, certificate, first degree, second degree, you know, terminal degree, you know, reverend doctor, reverend professor, or pastor, engineer, you know, and things like that. But truth is that, what does that bring to the table in terms of the people you lead? Because, say, Jude, when I go to church on Sunday and I'm not eating for 2 days, don't come and tell me story. When you quote John 3:16 for me, the question I'm asking is, so how does that apply to my situation?
Yeah.
How does that put, okay, what do I need to, what does that put food on my table? So, In every sphere of life, we need to first of all define who we are. The second thing is, what is really happening here. See, in problem solving, it's the inverse. When you want to solve a problem in a place, you don't begin with know who is responsible or who was there. You don't. That's a wrong approach in problem solving and in conflict resolution. The first thing you begin with is, what happened here?
Okay, so let me share something with you. I don't know, maybe you have heard of this, or maybe you did listen to this, but let's bring this into the context of the leader. You said the most important job of a leader is to define reality.
That's right.
Yeah, and when the leader defines a type of reality, that's when they can start to look at how they solve problems and things like that. Now, let's take a listen to this, please.
After ladies' matches, you have all kind of knocks, pain, something should be able to cushion. Each of you will go home with $20,000, each of you. For me, you deserve more than that. But because of the economy, we have to reduce our hand. If not, you deserve more than this. You've done well. And let me tell you, if you qualify in the group stage for this CAF competition, we'll double it for you.
All right, so that's an excerpt from the governor receiving the cup that Rivers United won, the league.
Yeah.
And then it was, okay, look, congratulations them. You guys did very well. The economy is bad. We can't give you more, but we're going to give you $20,000. That's what he said.
Just the year.
Now, from your standpoint, right, is that the reality that Nigerians are in right now? Are we now looking for money in dollars?
Good question. Before I circle back to that, I think the first thing is, let's give kudos to the governor. Kudos for recognizing the efforts of people. Kudos to be able to reward hard work. Give that to him. Kudos to be able to keep his promise. If you look at the spectrum of the Nigerian landscape, in 1983, when Nigeria first won the African Cup of Nations, Moda Shiru Lawa, Shegun Odegbami, and Oyebode, and the rest of them, Christian Chukwu, and Emmanuel Okala, they were promised houses, which never came for 20 years.
That's worrying.
It is worrying. When we won the 1996 Cup of Nations, there were promises that were made that were not fulfilled for years. It's when this current minister for sports came up that he's trying to push for some of those things. How far he has gone, it's not really my field. So give it to the River State government that, look, this is our team. And I respect that, that gesture. Because, see, if you've been in sports before, it's a lot of energy. Now, where I have my challenge, it's not the reward that is given. It is the form of the reward in terms of denominated in dollars.
That's not our local content.
That's not our local content. And you see, what that does, especially coming from government quarters, is that it's beginning to endorse that, dollar will soon become the denominational currency for trading. And don't be shocked when policemen, maybe in another 2-3 years from now, because look, the things begin in a little way. And they say, well, sorry, you need to give me $10. You need to give me $5 because that's the stable currency. I don't want it in Naira. The danger with that is likely to be that everybody starts saying, okay, so how much is $20,000? That's about 13 million. Wow, that's a whooping sum.
So why not announce the price as 13 million Naira?
I am not in the mind of the governor.
we're not talking about the government, but we're saying, why don't we have those kind of payment plans? Because even within the oil sector here, we hear things like when people are giving jobs, they are remunerated according to the dollar equivalent. Sometimes they won't tell you, they don't want to see the Naira equivalent, they want to be paid in dollars, depending on what it is. We have just about a minute, we'll go on the break, but isn't that a cause for concern? People working in Nigeria are now asking to be paid in dollars. How does that boost the local content?
It depends on the nature of work. It depends completely on the nature of work. You can't rule that out in any nation. and you, I mean, put me on record and that I stand to be corrected. You can't rule that out.
Mm.
If you are working, for example, in a place like UAE, all right, you are a Nigerian, you're going to be paid, you know, in dollars. See, the dollar is the controlling currency for business in the world. It doesn't matter when they're going to give you a quotation in any country, it's likely going to be in dollars. Even when they give it to you in pound sterling or dirham, you still have to find a way to convert it back to the dollar. It has become the reference point,
okay,
for doing business anyway.
Okay, all right. It's become the reference point. When we come back, we'll get more from Dr. Alfred Oladapo this morning. We're taking a look at promoting local content, a leader's role in the promotion of a local content, or of local content in general. We've narrowed down from, you know, speaking business broadly. We've taken a look at how governments, leaders in government, you know, can. When we come back, that's where we're going to be laying emphasis, how a government leader, a leader of a people, should promote, you know, local content. And we're using the clip that we listened to as a case study. Now, to join in the conversation, please, WhatsApp and Facebook are active right now. The WhatsApp number is 0809030 6416, 0809030 6416, and get on Facebook at Nigeria Info PH, and also on Twitter at Nigeria Info PH. When we come back, Dr. Alvarez is going to be with us. Give him about 10 minutes, iron the issues, then we get to hear from you.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk. Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
The 92.3 Nigeria Info, 29 minutes to the bottom of the, to the top of the hour. We have just about 20 minutes on our conversation this morning. If you're just joining us, my name is Jude. The show is Hello Port Harcourt. This morning, we're talking about leadership roles, particularly in promoting local content. I have my guest joining me this morning, Dr. Alfred Oladapo, who said, look, the most important thing, calling off from a great speaker himself, the most important thing that a leader should do is define reality. And now we're looking at the reality in Nigeria, and we're taking a little cue from the governor, talking about Governor Wike and the Rivers United's win. We're going to get back to Dr. Alfred this morning and analyze that. Meanwhile, if you want to join in the conversation as we look at local content and the role of a leader, 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, and the female caller number is 0817-923-0009. I'll be taking your comments on our social media platforms at Nigeria Info PH for Facebook and Twitter. And do remember, when we open the phone lines, refrain from using remarks that may be seen as derogatory or defamatory. If you didn't quite see it or hear it, please don't make mention of it. That means do not make unsubstantiated claims. And once again, if you are in doubt,
this is 92.3 Nigeria Info, the only place where talk is not cheap.
Well, let's get back to Dr. Alfred. Dr. Alfred, thank you once again for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
So, we don't have a lot of time, so let's get back into the deep end of this conversation. Now, leaders define reality, and the reality for some is that in some businesses, you have to be paid in US dollars wherever you are. It doesn't matter because it's the reference point, according to you, internationally.
Internationally is the reference point. You remember sometime, was it last year or maybe this year, when you invited me to the studio, and we talked about how you can live in Nigeria and earn dollars.
In dollars.
And that's because they say, you are here in Nigeria, but you are working in UK. You are working remotely. You are working in Kenya, you're working in the US, you're working in Asia, they're going to pay you in dollars. No matter what they define as their own currency, is going to be denominated finally into dollars, you know, for you. Now, you could take dollars, right, to almost any nation, and you're going to have it readily exchanged. You see, way back, because this is the issue of the local content, is that when you abuse your own currency, it eventually backfires. Now, in the Second Republic, you could take the Nigerian Naira. My friends living in UK, you know, will tell you that you could spend Naira, okay, on the streets of UK, in London. Ask. Is the truth? It is. You would investigate. You could use Nigerian Naira in the UK. Why? At that time, how much does it cost to fly to the UK at that time? I had friends who flew to the UK. It was 600 Naira. Return ticket to the UK. 600. You're flying to New York. It's about 1,850 Naira. Return ticket. Check it. We had a very strong currency. Very strong. But see, here's where the role of the leader is. We also had at a time, that's before the Second Republic, we used to have a military head of state who said, money is not our problem in Nigeria. It is how to spend it. You know, that's a huge statement and a strong indictment on leadership, that you don't know what to do with money. So we could have built the most massive industries in the world at that time. We could have built the best rail lines in the U.S. Say, just down the road, about 13 years ago, I was going for a Harvard meeting in Athens. And I had one of my colleagues, Tadisi. He was from Ethiopia. And we were going to take the underground, train, straight to the Acropolis. No, by the way, Jude, when you go to Athens, make sure you go to the Acropolis. It's a fantastic place, a place of history. And, he just looked at me and said, well, Afra, when the next train is coming? I said, I'm just waiting. He said, but you should be used to this. You have this a lot in Nigeria. I told him, no, we don't have one subway. And he said, no kidding. Ethiopia has it. He said, when leadership is not directly focused on what to do with resources and channel it effectively, you're going to destroy whatever you have on the local ground. Fast forward to where we are now. The government has been talking, for example, about modular refinery. Are we supposed to be where we are now? Imagine if 7 years ago, 6 years ago, the concept of modular refinery has been fully, granted, well-supported, full-blown. You're not going to be having a lot of this bullfire. Because you say, look, the modular refinery will run them out of business. Now, here we are in River State. Well, thank God maybe for those in authority for what they're doing now, that we're not experiencing this scarcity. As you have it in Abuja, it was really bad. As you had in Lagos, it was terribly bad. Yet in Port Harcourt too, when we got the refinery, there was a time that, you can't even get fuel to buy. Mm-hmm. How come that, as leaders, in government, we can't fix our refinery? And it begins, I understand, with a lot of dishonesty in leadership. When years ago, crude was refined in Nigeria, and then they would put it in the ship. I understand they would take it to the high seas, keep it there for about 3 or 4 weeks, and then bring it back as imported fuel. That's where, the downward trend stop of the Naira, began to, tumble.
So now, a leader or leaders have a very big role in improving local content.
Absolutely.
A few weeks ago, a month or two ago, during the primaries, there were rumors and people were talking about local delegates. They're no more asking for Naira. That they were now being, seduced by hard currency, which led to a scarcity. And, businesses around were complaining that they were also suffering. I'm going to borrow your words. Is that not affecting local content if what they are meant to use to get things done, they can't see it?
Well, you remember that when we came into this Fourth Republic, the cliche used at that time was, no, Ghana must go. See, Nigerians have almost become, especially, in leadership sphere, we've almost become expert genius when it comes to evil, in devising means of circumventing rules and making everything work to our own advantage. Now, Back to the Second Republic, when people steal money in government, what were they doing? They set fire on the building. During Shagari's time, we had many buildings that were burnt, including the Nightingale headquarters, you know, in Lagos, the 35-story building. Most the government offices, you know, fire begin from the accounts department. Wow. That's the way they were doing it at that time. Now, you see, we have graduated to a point. The issue of this naira and dollar issue, you know, it heightened by 2014. It used to be Ghana must go. But by 2014, because the antecedents have a way of repeating themselves, by the time the present government was bidding to come into office, part of the fear, the trepidation that a lot of politicians had is that, well, just as he did in 1983 when he came, December 31st, the first thing they tried to do is just to change the naira. So what most politicians did, and probably those who stole money and those who probably want to preserve their loot, that's when they started going to buy the dollar. Because at that time when they changed the color of the naira, most people that stole money and kept it in the house, the money was useless. So what they did now is use it to buy dollars and keep. Because now you can't change the color of the dollar, no matter what. So it becomes a route for preserving loot away from the prying eyes of EFCC.
So they change from naira to dollar.
They change from naira to dollar. So you could, just a £100, just a pack of $100 bills is 10,000 USD. That 10,000 USD in the market today, how much is it? It's 6 million. And it's easy, you just take 10,000 and put it in my jacket here and so put it in my other four pockets here. And I'm walking down the street with 60,000 USD in my pocket. That's 36 million. I don't need any bag. So, we've evolved, we've become evil geniuses in finding ways, to see that we hide what we steal, what we're not entitled to.
And that's affecting local content.
It is affecting the local content because, the thing is, the pressure on the naira, the pressure on the dollar becomes too strong. See, years ago, Nigerian student, and I saw this in the US, we walk into a place and, buy things in the shop and pay cash. Who does that in the US? $6,000 cash they'll pay. They are children of the people in government. These are their children that ride the cars that people, that professors who have worked for 35 years here, they cannot even afford to buy the tires. They ride those cars in the US and the UK. So much pressure on the naira. You're talking of local government. What happened to our universities? We've killed the educational system. The average person is sending their children outside.
Demanding
what are they
more,
paying? It's in naira. It's in dollars. Now, my bank just came up with what they call it now. I said, your debit naira card, you can't use it outside the country again, for dollar.
So that means you have to get a separate card now.
You can get a debit card in naira. That means go source your naira, bring it to the bank, we'll keep it for you. So you can go use it, and then we don't have a problem with it. It's the dollar that you're spending. And that has a way of going to make business to be more expensive. As at yesterday evening, the dollar was 660. 660 naira to a dollar. Which nation really survives? And we're still playing.
So
it's a serious issue. See, there has to be a lot of sincerity in leadership. See, when there's no integrity in leadership at all levels, and this is no apology, from local government all the way to presidency, from one industry, to another, from the teachers, to the laborer, to most of the things we blame government for. You also have to look back and say, what kind of followers are we producing? An American president once said that, look, every nation deserves the kind of leaders it gets. Everything now, what defines you, and some of us have refused that, what defines you in this nation now is your bank account, or the kind of clothes you wear, or the kind of car you drive. That's why I say, crooks can drive SUVs, and they will not be checked by the police. Yet, the man that is probably driving, his small car trying to make money, they're not going to let him go. So when you talk of local content, our behavior is part of what we sell to the outside world. I had a guest not long ago from the US, never been to Africa before, a few years ago, and had to cut short the trip because of the way people are driving in Lagos. I said, I'm sorry, I think I'm going to die. Cut short the trip after 1 week and I went back. So look at the way we drive on the road first. At the point we complain that, you know, we don't have roads. Now we have roads in Port Harcourt. Go to the major junctions and then you see taxis, you know, three of them parking side by side. Which nation does that? That's part of our local content. That's absolute mediocrity. You won't find that in any serious nation on earth. Where I have been, maybe there are some serious nations I have not been, no problem, but I haven't seen it anywhere. And if you try to say, no, I got to bring that one here. See, we have decided, okay, to enthrone mediocrity. We've decided, you know, like to reward bad behaviors. When people steal money, for example, part of our local content is we have a way of preserving them. We have a way of making them not look so bad. In those days, you know, when you talk about, you know, local content, people had a lot of respect for this nation. True. Because that's part of what you carry. See, local content is not really, it's the entire, you know, gamut that you put together to define the local government. Which, I mean, we just try to, the business angle is just an infinitesimal part of it. But you see, the anthropology, the behavior of the people, the culture, when you go on the streets, you know, what do you see? You know, as I came in, I told you one thing. I said, I'm so impressed. Because I came down from the bridge and all the way to the turning point, I could see, you know, the entire, you know, island, or what do you call it?
The median.
Yeah, the median. God, dude, clean. So proud to drive. I felt good driving. Because, you see, I've been out of Port Harcourt for a while. Even with the AC inside your vehicle, somehow the stench
could,
still
yeah.
filters in. And you see everywhere so clean now. At the turning point over there, there used to be one big ditch that, you know, you're so afraid, you have to learn how to negotiate. I got there and the whole place was looking like paradise. And I said, wow, this is beautiful. Give it to whoever is in charge, to be government or whatever. Because when people come into town, part of what they use to measure you, your seriousness in leadership, is they look at the behavior of the people. They look at, you know, what does your road look like? That you like it on. If someone is going to bring business here now, those are things you're going to consider as a business consultant. Those are things we look at. It's not just how much money you have in the bank. How much security do you have? You buy a property and then you want to develop it to an industry, and then today, you know, one group will come, take money, another group will come tomorrow, take money, other group
that's
will come.
Scare, that's going to scare anybody.
That is not, that's going to scare anybody.
Leadership and how it affects local content. Now, if you just join us, even hearing the voice of Dr. Alfredo Oladapo. Now, let's get to open the phone lines. We have time for just about two or three calls. There are already messages coming through on WhatsApp. I'm going to share them with you and indeed with the rest of the listening public. 0817 923 0003 0817 923 0007 and 0817 923 0009. WhatsApp, Telegram available on 0809 030 6416. Dr. Alfred has been talking to us about the roles of a leader in promoting local content. Do you think your leaders, whether it's in business, even in government, are promoting Nigeria properly? Let's get to hear from you.
The views and opinions shared on this program do not represent the position of Nigeria Info FM. Nigeria Info, let's talk.
This one here reads, Jude, good morning. If the governor gives hard-working people in like Rivers United players dollars, people will be happy and won't complain. But when giving for political reasons, that's where annoyance is created. That's from Dolo. Jude, our local content has been adulterated and corrupted. Bribing and corruption has ravaged the system. For our local content to be highly valued and promoted, we must do away with these bedeviling concerns. Okere Michael, both messages coming from WhatsApp. All right, facebook.com/Nigeria Info PH. facebook.com/Nigeria Info PH. That's where you find us. And then jump on the conversation. Very quickly, Dr. Alfred. This message, the person says, well, if the governor gives it to hardworking individuals, in this case, footballers. People will not be upset. But any game for political drama and things like that, like was purported during the primaries, that's where the annoyance comes. Do you agree with that?
Again, you know, the issue is not like who it is given to. We're just looking at the currency here. Well, you know, the truth is, you know, if you gave it in Naira, will people you know, be angry?
If they say they've just given...
They gave them like 50 million Naira each, yes. Or no, 30 million Naira each. Will people be angry?
That's a good question.
So it's not about, you know, the purpose of which is given. We're looking at the currency.
Very good question. All right. Now, this one here says, our local contests were adulterated. His words, adulterated and corrupted. Bribing and corruption, ravaging the system. Is it really just bribery and corruption? Because as far as I know, there's almost no continent, there's almost no country where people are not being bribed, or there's no measure of corruption, even in the US.
You have a point. But the thing you got to ask is, beyond the bribery and corruption, you see, my worries many times is that people think local content has to do with just take a Nigerian. Just take somebody, you know, who is from Lagos State to do things in Lagos. Take someone who is from River State to do things in Rivers. That's not how it works. That's just one, you know, narrow, you know, tunnel perspective of it. You got to get someone from River State, or, you know, to do something in River, or do in Lagos, from Lagos. But you got to place competence at the driving seat. You got to see, getting people, okay, from a local place, you know, to do a local job, and, you know, without competence, you know, without skill, all you're just going to have is just junk at the end of the day. And nobody's going to buy junk. So we have to get rid of, you know, the culture of mediocrity. We can promote local content. But Jude, let's emphasize a lot with no personal development, self-development. We just talk about our educational sector. Can you imagine years ago, Jude, we used to have people all the way from India come to teach in secondary schools.
Secondary schools, yes. And primary schools.
You were there. But no, where are we now? UCH in Ibadan used to be a leading medical, facility across West Africa. Go there now. Sometimes they don't have oxygen. That's part of our local content, really?
That's part of the local. So it's really not just about business.
It's a whole lifestyle. It's a 360 degrees issue. We can only narrow it down to business, you know, just as a small perspective that we want to deal with. But we want to talk about the entire thing about local content, brother, is a big thing.
All right, let's see if we take one call here very quickly. 923, hello, Port Harcourt. Good morning, very quickly, please.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Hello. My name is Abraham. I'm calling from Port Harcourt.
Good morning, Abraham.
Yes. I don't really know what you are saying. The administration of the APT is important to Asian human beings.
Okay, wait. Let me stop you right there, because we're not directly looking at a political party or a system. It's all encompassing. We'll go for a break and we'll wrap up shortly.
To miss any moment of the action, listen to us from anywhere in the world. Download the Nigeria Info FM app from your app store. Tap the menu bar on the top left corner of your screen, select Port Harcourt, and listen to your number one news, talk, and sports radio station at 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, so welcome back. We'll wrap up now with Dr. Alfred Oladapo. Once again, thank you for joining us this morning. All right, so I'm going to read a comment here. This is on my own page. And this one here says, good morning. Please ask the good doctor, if it's not just about business, how then do we change the mindset of a local content? How does a leader do that? only have 1 minute, please.
The first thing for a leader to do, back to what Judge Barnard said, define the reality of the situation. See, if you can define what the reality is, then you begin to think of what to do. Because no matter what you recommend, except the leader's mindset shifts to be able to grasp the paradigm of whatever is going on, you're just like pouring water at the back of a duck. We need new leaders that are intelligent, that can decipher.
Okay.
We need leaders that can make decisions intelligently. See, you can make, everybody makes decisions, but it's not all decisions that are intelligent.
Good. All right, Dr. Alfred, once again, thank you very much for coming. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
In the beginning of change, the patriot is a scarce man, brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him for free because it costs nothing to be a patriot. My name is Jude. It's been a pleasure once again presenting here on Hello Port Harcourt. I wonder what change it is you are trying to make. If you are that patriot, whether the strong or the weak one, I do hope, like Dr. Harper said, you make a good decision. Good morning.